Yeah, we're getting into the smart content core people that care, love, and care about data. So that's what I'm going to talk about. So as Guy mentioned, I'm the CTO for media and manufacturing at MarkLogic. It's a little bit of a weird combo, but I take care of all of our customers that make all the great things that we all need and love. And it turns out in these days, it's all about data, it's all about digital. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about smart content. So this is the Smart Content Summit. It's my favorite subject. In fact, we'll get into a little bit of the history, but we've been at this for a while, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of a background, you know, where we are, where we're going to, and some of the things we've done along the way. So in order to do that, I need to take you guys into the Wayback Machine and bring us back to where this started, and a little reminder that it's almost been 4 years. So we started talking about smart content 4 years ago. So put your own mind back, you know, how did you think about data? What were we working on in the industry? Now remember, Metadata Madness was already going on, so we were all kind of keyed in on a lot of the problems, a lot of the things that got you into metadata, the digital shelf, the presence you have, the way you represent your content. And smart content was something that, you know, I was in the room for, Mary, Guy, we were all on the phone talking about, was taking the next step, looking at all the data around it. So remember, that's 4 years ago. And just to give you guys some perspective, it was actually so long ago that Guy Finley had hair. So I have a picture here of Guy, and it turns out he didn't. He still was bald. I recently played that not-so-great joke, and Guy said you have to go back quite a few more decades to find a picture of him with some hair. But it really was a while ago. And so what I thought I'd do is talk a little bit about some of the projects we've been involved with at MarkLogic and some of the ways that we've seen them work towards that vision of smart content, but you have to begin with the overall vision. So this is the original smart content slide. So that meeting in Los Angeles that you know was an idea thrown together, and I think there were over 100 people in that meeting, which we were all very surprised at, because you're really looking at the core of the data. And we've got a great crowd here also talking about data. And this was the kind of starting premise. Let's not just look at the content. We all know the content, and at that time particularly, we'd gotten over the big hump of the fact that, okay, we're talking about digital files here. We're talking about lots and lots of data that you need to describe those digital files. But let's take a step back. Let's look at the data that's getting created as you begin the process, the planning, the investment. Let's look at what actually happens in the setup, getting it all together, getting the project started. Let's look at actually what happens on the set. Let's begin to have that conversation about data in that context. And then, you know, we're into the distribution where a lot of the focus was, but let's not forget that. Let's not forget that there's a life afterwards, and in fact, the life afterwards is not just a big, you know, safe where you lock everything. The life afterwards is, in fact, the content and the value of it. And let's keep going. So this tagline that Guy came up with for, you know, the data from inception to infinity, you guys have all heard, it didn't quite catch on exactly that way. But this tagline is this world of smart content. And it's really, really worth looking at this today. So I mentioned it's 4 years ago. We were standing up talking about this now. But look at it today and see exactly where you might be in terms of actually leveraging this data. And it's, you know, we all have a lot of work to do, I think. And so what I wanted to do is just talk about a couple things we've been involved with, some of the patterns, and just kind of take a little check. So early on, and I should explain that MarkLogic, if you don't know, we're a database company. So we make a database that takes a different approach to storing data that's particularly good at this kind of complex data. Early on, we got involved with organization like the BBC. Well, specifically, we got involved with the BBC for their Olympics platform that rolled out the way that rolled out an integrated view of all the data around the content to give this incredibly immersive experience for the Olympics when it was on the home, when it was actually in London. And then that platform matured and went forward to become a delivery platform that connects all the shows, all the data about all the shows across the BBC, including a lot of their partner shows. The breadth of this is actually really astounding. So you start with sports, you get to news, but then we have all the cultural items. We have actually big repositories of digital assets from other institutions that are all part of it, collected in one place, connected, and then made available to not just the internal BBC products. So the original vision of this is kind of what you see, people interacting and experiencing it on any screen. Today, it's something like that. It's far, far more complex. Multiple apps and multiple views of the data are available. But that same platform, that same collected view of the data, is actually what is available to all the partners. So if you're looking at a BBC America show, has anybody seen Dirk Gently's? What? That is insane. Sorry, it's a BBC America show that is underserved in this market. violent agreement by people who have seen it. That metadata came out of the platform to make it to the distribution side. So talking about this vision of using the data, putting it in action. From there, we got involved with NBC and the Saturday Night Live show. And I'm going to go double-click on this one a little bit, but in broad strokes, this was another kind of smart content project because it didn't just take the data, the metadata. It actually made a whole new set of data to connect the fans' view of the show to the content. And it's a great story, great example of really bringing this whole smart content vision to life. And then we were able to kind of move the other way. So this is largely around distribution. We kind of moved down into the production cycle. So 2 years ago now, we did a project with the ETC. That's the Entertainment Technology Center at the University of Southern California. It's something that works for all of the Hollywood studios. And we actually were involved in a film production, this film called The Suitcase, that as an independent film went on to win some awards. But during the shooting of The Suitcase, there was a data thread collecting the data as it was generated. So it was a cloud-first production, and because of that choke point in the cloud, the data was mapped out and made available, and we were bringing it together and creating a canonical set of data from the actual production data, not having people retype in things like the production staff, the things like the actual character list, the set list, the scenes that were actually shot, and the information behind the scenes was brought forward and collected as data. It's a great experiment. We're nowhere near done with this. In fact, there's another stream going on today of talking about cloud production. Just the act of doing the production, the tools are still evolving, becoming really great. The data track is still very active. But from that project, we learned quite a bit, and we actually now, from that project, are kind of parallel to the project. We got involved with Disney's Creative Genome Project. And this is taking a slightly different approach, but is a platform to get ready for the future of data around all the shows. So it's starting on the television side, but it's a little morphing, moving into some of the other pieces of Disney. And this project is another kind of smart content vision because it says, we don't know where we're going to get the data. We don't know whether we're going to have an AI algorithm that is really great at facial and emotional recognition. We don't know if we're going to hire interns who understand storylines. But we know we're going to generate a lot of data, so let's take a platform approach. Let's think about this notion of smart content. It's going to be a diversity of data and have a platform approach that lets us collect it and put it into action. I always point to this project in terms of that strategy kind of underlying the vision of smart content. So all of these projects that we've been involved with have a lot in common. First of all, they're going for that smart content goal. We're looking at the data around the content, not just the metadata, not just the practical data, but the really big mix of information around it. And the other thing they have in common is that they did not take the usual approach. So metadata, just to start with, is sneaky. You might think it's really, really great to put it into rows and columns. And if you've been working in metadata, you know very, very quickly the frustration you have when you have things like repeating elements, like how many producers were there? Are there two, three? I have to decide, or have to split into some other table and build an endless series of relationships just on a simple, simple thing like that. That one little trick, that one little trip is one of about 100 examples in the world of metadata that make it very, very difficult to work in this model where you have to predict everything up front for everything you're working with. So figure out where everything is, put it into rows, put it into columns, and then probably leave some columns blank because you know you're going to encounter new things. Then when things change, you might have to rethink the whole project. You might have to redo the structure, rethink it, and evolve. So this, which I sort of postulate is metadata sneaky. This is really how people are largely still thinking about storing this kind of data. You know, we're working in a world where there's a knowledge about new ways of storing data, practice, great deal of practice around the traditional rows and columns approach. And if you're in an organization and you're kind of, maybe the business owner or maybe you're one of the people working on the data modeling, you might encounter this when you'd say, hey, you know, what's the best way to model the data? And it might come back, well, we're just going to put it in rows and columns. And this reminds me of, there's a little bit of, you know, this, I'm going to try to get into a political meme, which is, I checked with our database, I checked with our DBA, and they said, yeah, relational's just fine. There's no problem there. Sorry, I don't know if that got the political. I'm not trying to be political. It was a minor joke. But the point is, there's not an acceptance, there's not an acknowledgement of this change that's going on. And that's just for the core data itself. If I'd tried a double negative, that joke might have worked. They said there wouldn't have been a problem. Anyways, I'm sorry. Is that better? Yeah, that's better. Okay, so the second half of this problem is the categories. That's just the data itself. What do you do with things like categories? So here's a simple genre example. And in this model, you have to have hierarchical fixed categories. Again, you have to decide ahead of time. And not only that, you can only model it in one direction. So here we're looking at a pretty simple example where you see pretty quickly that, you know, hey, if I'm working on a feature or a series, there's going to be overlaps, but this model forces me to choose, and I've got a separate category for action in a series versus action in a series in a feature. And that just doesn't make any sense in the real world, but it's the kind of thing that you encounter. So you have duplicated entries, different levels of nesting, a lot of complexity, and at the end of the day, what I've seen and what we've generally seen in these systems is they get cut down. Just store the minimum, store what makes sense, leave a lot of data off. Again, we're talking about this vision of smart content. We have a lot of rich data in production. Let's only take what's useful forward into distribution. And then just make it work for this one thing. And then somebody else comes along and they redo it. And that's kind of what happens. Underneath all of that, when you make all the decisions, you end up with something like this. So if you have all those categories, you have all those endless tables, you end up with something that, you know, we call the Irwins of unusual size. This is actually just a sample of a metadata model for people. So I want you to, and I have some slides where we do this, where you sort of zoom out and you see the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tables. So if you're not used to seeing these kinds of diagrams, this is largely why you're getting data that is restricted. It's purpose-built. It isn't very useful except for the one category. And this is why. It's very flexible. It also takes a huge amount of time to build. And unfortunately, you have to change it. So this is what is going on with data. This is what this results in. If you look at that whole process, sort of take the smart content vision, lay it on its side, and think, okay, there's data that we all need. There's the content itself. There's the taxonomies, the things that describe it. There's the, and in this case, I'm using the word semantics to show how things link together. There's the core metadata, and I'm gonna say, you know, you gotta understand customers in this environment. They're connected. Every single person needs all this data. I need to understand all this if I'm planning, if I'm doing investment. How many more minutes? Oh God, I went way too long. yeah, I'm not even close. I'm gonna argue with Guy about 2 minutes. I thought it was 15, Guy. Oh, yeah. All right, guys, I've been blabbing on too long. The result is that everybody needs access to the data, but it's in these silos. It's in systems that are purpose-built for those particular systems. So to respect for Guy, this is actually what happens when you do all those models. And this is arguably not where you're going to get to smart content. So what we're doing and all those projects have in common is that they take a different approach. Instead of saying the rows and columns, we're looking at the flexible schemas that, you know, kind of there's a NoSQL version of it. It's this, if you're really old school with this, it's XML. It's using the right tool for the right job. It actually accomplishes what you need to do with these different structures, lets you store it, and it turns out it's flexible over time. But more and more importantly, on the right-hand side, we're using semantic data. Creating ontologies, descriptions of the world around you, and then linking the two together. And this model is what all of those projects we've been involved with actually uses. This is the real data model of the projects that are powering things like the BBC's delivery, powering things like the Saturday Night Live application experience, and more. And bringing this forward, you kind of have a very different picture. Because you can flexibly bring all that data together and make all those links, you actually can make that data available across all the different parts of the business. Now, there's a key difference here. What we're talking about is a data hub approach, which brings the data together, and it interacts with all of those systems that are custom built in production to manage the data that we need to manage it. That is. I'm going to beg you for like 2 minutes. I'm going to be done, okay? years of credit.
Of course.
I can get this back. All right, so here it is with SNL. This is how this works for the SNL experience. They use this semantic data to understand, to put the whole world of the show into context. These are the concepts, these are the things you like, and they just start playing things in this world of relationships. So instead of doing things like keyword search, it looks for the concepts. It says Kristen Wiig, she was in all these great shows. And in addition to that, they kind of tee it up. So that's a very, very short version of this great app. It's still running, and this is actually the foundation for a lot of NBC.com and how they now begin to promote the shows. So the thing I wanted to get to in this 1 minute is that this is not the end of it. You don't just link the content. It's a much bigger picture. Think about that smart content idea, where you can now link in, how did this stuff get productized? Who actually sold it, and what was it worth? What are people doing with it? This is now an actual template to link in a lot of the operational data in the organization and get to a very, very different view. This is something we're seeing more and more of, particularly in media, people looking beyond just the content, using all their data. The great MoviePass example. Right? If you're starting to interact with people, you're generating data, but to understand it, you need to link it together like this, and that's what we developed. So there's I saw you taking a picture. You can take a picture. Guy, this is on Guy.
No time, man. No Guy. Time.
All right. So because of that notion, we've really put together this notion of a data hub. So the data hub concept is out there, and now we have the pattern. Bring together the data, link it, and then make it available. And this is the end. It's not just going on here. So I mentioned the extra piece of data. We just did a great webinar at Sony Pictures. It's a financial data hub, sales to finance, linking it all together. There's a little joke about the best screen in Hollywood, but people can interact with the avails, the product, and the regions, and the 30 other parameters they need to do to place product in a single screen because the data is actually together. And it's not just this industry doing things for Airbus and testing, for Chevron in the field. Data hubs and bringing them together is actually critically important for almost any business. And so when we think about it now, we think there's a pattern. Create a data hub, link the data together, use those different data models, and that's the way to get smart. So sorry for the overage, but that's what I had to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Matt Turner, ladies and gentlemen. No worries.